The big stories and everything everyone's talking about.
Join the conversation.
The Richard Brown Show. News Talk 650 CKOM.
I want to talk about HIV this half hour. It was a surprising statistic that I came across in a piece that had been written by Angela Hill. She's the content editor of PANow.com. In fact, she has a whole series on HIV in Saskatchewan. That our HIV infection rates in this province are twice the national average. And it impacts mostly First Nations. It's a fascinating piece of work that Angela's done. She joins us on the live line. Good afternoon, Angela.
Hi.
So tell me what the impetus was for you to do this whole series, because there's about 10 parts to this, I think.
Yeah, there is 10. It started a while back. I did some volunteer work with AIDS Program South Saskatchewan in Regina during my university degree. And then I did some work overseas with people who have HIV and AIDS. And then when I came back to Saskatchewan and started work in Prince Albert, I did a couple of series just because announcements were being made and some statistics had been released. And I just found what I saw so intriguing in reference to what I had seen, both overseas and in Regina, and it made me want to start digging into more. And that's how I got started.
Yeah. When you say what you saw compared to what is happening overseas, what do you mean? The way people deal with it, the way they handle it, how it's, you know, that sort of thing?
That's exactly it. You know, we can't really compare numbers or situations as apple to oranges, but the amount it's talked about in the places I was when I was in Uganda, compared to how it's talked about in Saskatchewan, it's just rarely brought up here, whereas it's everywhere there. You know, get tested. Think about it. Make sure you think about what you're doing and how this could affect you.
Yeah.
And here, it was really difficult to find people who wanted to talk to start with.
Is it... Okay, let me ask the question then. Why is it difficult to find people who are talking about HIV?
It has to do with stigma and discrimination. You know, no one wants to be associated with having HIV and AIDS because, you know, the main transmission routes are through injection drug use mm-hmm. or through sex, and for the most part, a lot of it is prostitution, right? So it's this idea that, well, if you've done this or made a decision or made a mistake that's gotten you this, you're dirty. You're not worth talking to. And so for people to come forward and say, look, you know, my name is and I'm HIV positive, it's a really big step. They risk losing people they know, friends, family, you name it.
How difficult was it for you doing this series of pieces to find people to talk to?
I started slow. Like I said, I did a series about 2 or 3 years ago, so something really small. And that sort of gained me an entry. You know, people trusted me. They knew that I would tell the real story, that I was interested in this topic and not just sort of interested in, you know, just quickly finding something out and moving on. And
right. And
sort of over that time, I was sort of able to develop contacts. And then as I explained to people what I was doing and how I really wanted to put a face to what was going on in Saskatchewan and not just point fingers, one person would speak to me and they would suggest someone else who might be willing to speak to me. And then those two would speak to me and they would suggest to someone else.
I love the way you've written this. You've kind of written it almost from through the eyes of individuals, and telling stories that way makes them so much more powerful. And the one that really got to me, and I want you to kind of relay this story because it deals with drugs and families,
mm-hmm.
is the 13-year-old, or who was at that time when she got involved in drugs, just 13 years old, and it was within her own family.
Yeah, that's Alyssa. For sure, she was one of the ones that stuck out in my mind as well. So I met her during the AIDS Saskatoon walk this September, and she had just found out within the past year that she was HIV positive. And she had really no idea. She had gotten sick, and she didn't know why, and she ended up in hospital for about a month. And so she was tested for HIV because of the symptoms she had.
Mm-hmm.
And through questions and contact tracing, they found out that she most likely got it from her mother. And so I sort of said, well, you know, what were you doing? And she said, you know, injection drug use. And I said, well, do you remember why you started? And she kind of looked at me. And, she, you know, she told me she was 13 or 14 years old. And she said, it was what my family was doing. And I just didn't want to be left out anymore.
Mm.
And for me, you know, that really struck a chord, because here's someone who just wants to be included in what's going on and doesn't really have an understanding of all of the choices that go with that. And I think it's amazing, because we don't know how many people are making decisions like that at a young age that end up with such huge ramifications later in their lives.
Is it, and you're doing your research for these pieces, did you find that it was a lot of it was family related?
I found two or three that was family related. You know, talking to people in health and in community organizations, they're seeing it, but to have a solid statistic to say, yeah, a lot of it is this, I can't say that, and I don't think they can at this point either. Now, that being said, the new HIV strategy, it was announced in 2010, started being rolled out in 2011 from the Ministry of Health. They're looking at doing more research into this. They're doing something called enhanced surveillance, and they're asking those kind of questions, starting to anyway, about you know, how you think you might have gotten contacted, who you're sharing with, what are some of the other things going on in your life that could have led you down this road.
Are these, the infections, are they predominantly in our First Nations communities?
About 60% of them, and disproportionate in that is young Aboriginal females, and I really saw that in the people I talked to. In fact, most of my interviews were with young Aboriginal females.
Yeah. How are they treated on their at home, at their First Nation? Are they, because at the very beginning of this conversation, you said some people felt they were being ostracized. Are these people being ostracized from their homes?
I think it depends on the communities. You know, a lot of them have already left their community at one point to come into the city, which is sort of where they've contacted the drug use and everything else.
Right.
It really is a case-by-case situation. There's history. You know, I talked to people who said 20 years ago or even 15 or 10 years ago, there was cases of even ban resolutions, you know, saying, you're not welcome here anymore, please leave. But I think we've come a long, long way from that. I mean, I look at what Sturgeon Lake First Nation is doing now, and they know they have an issue. They want to address it, and they're having workshops. And at those workshops, they're honoring people living with and who have died from. So they're speaking those names, and they're saying, look, you can't catch it by giving this person a hug. You can't catch it by being their friend. And I think that's going a long way. I mean, there's still a long way to go, but I think it's a start.
Yeah. We're in conversation with Angela Hill. She's the content director of PANow.com. She joins us on the line from Prince Albert. Are other First Nations as progressive as this one you just mentioned?
I think they're in a lot of different stages, you know, and there's a lot of First Nations in Saskatchewan, and so it's hard for me to comment on all of them, but
yes.
I know there's a turn for the better. I mean, through First Nations Inuit Health, they're funding HIV strategy positions, very similar to what the province is doing on the non-First Nations communities.
Yeah.
Through NISA, which is the Northern Intertribal Health Agency, they're working to help the community set up programming. In some communities, they're rolling out needle exchanges. You know, I've seen a YouTube video, and I haven't spoken to this community yet, but I hope to, and it's youth that have gotten together and made a music video about HIV and how to be aware of it, and it's youth in the community that are singing and acting in this music video, and it's up on YouTube for people to look and say, look, this is an issue. So, you know, not all of them are there yet, but they're starting to.
Yeah. In terms of treatment and even like to, you know, to get off drugs and then treatment for HIV, I was reading in one of your pieces that people can't get that kind of treatment that they need or want in Saskatchewan. They have to go to Vancouver.
Again, not in all cases, but I did meet and speak with people who have left the province to get treatment. You know, they just... Treatment for people can be really difficult to access. Yes, it's available, but if you don't know where to go or you're not comfortable with the services or you don't feel that there's enough support, they tend to move around a lot. So I met one man who was originally from Prince Albert. He got HIV. He wanted to get clean, so he moved from program to program because it's very difficult to find addictions programming that's longer than 28 days. And like he told me, I've been using drugs for 25 years of my life. I need more than a month to get past that. So after several attempts here in Saskatchewan, he got on a Greyhound bus because he heard there was programs in the downtown east side of Vancouver, and he had a family member there who he wanted to find. So he got on the bus, and he literally left with nothing. And he got linked up with a program there called the Positive Outlook Program with the Vancouver Native Health Society.
Mm-hmm.
And with the way their program is set up and how they're linked to pharmacies and how they're linked to physicians, they were able to get him on methadone. They were able to get him in a treatment program. He's on his HIV medications regularly. And I think that somewhere Saskatchewan is heading towards. I just think that, you know, in Vancouver they have a bit of a head start. And so I was talking to some of the coordinators out there, and they say they see people from First Nations and from big cities from across the country that sort of end up filtering their way there because of the services that are available.
Yeah. Well, it's a fascinating read, and I would recommend it to everyone. It's Angela Hill's series. It's on PANow.com, and it's all of them. I mean, it is a really fabulous piece of work in terms of the inside look through the eyes of those people who are going through this crisis in their lives. Angela, I really appreciate you coming on the program. Thank you.
I really appreciate having the opportunity to speak. It's something that's really close to me, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Angela.
All right, you take care.
So, as I say, it's on PANOW.com.